Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Wednesday, the 22nd of December, recording at 10.09 p.m., and that's Greenwich Mean Time. Now, first a quick look at the highlights here today, and it was a quieter day overall. Stock markets in Asia were mixed, very small percentage changes occurring. The same can be said for Europe, although a few more markets were down than up. The UK FTSE 100 was an exception, up 0.5%. And in the Americas, the US market closed with some modest gains, which is impressive on the tail of yesterday's strength. But the S&P is only up 0.34%, but that takes it up to 1258, nearly 1259. And let's see, the Brazil rallied again today, had a good day yesterday as well. Canada up a little bit, Mexico down a tiny bit. In bonds, the U.S. futures prices, so long-dated futures, are slightly easier. European, bonds are slightly firmer. We had a good day in the grain and bean complex, particularly wheat, which had been a little bit of a laggard recently, but that closed up 18 at 783.5. And elsewhere, lumber picked up again, having sold off a bit yesterday. Crude oil, 90.61. So that's really quite firm. In currencies, not much going on. Maybe the dollar is a tad easier. Let's see, I'm looking at the euro. I haven't been able to watch the action for much of the day, but I'm seeing the euro here at 131, sterling at 153.91. That Aussie up at 99.87. Okay, so what's going on here overall? Well, as far as stock markets are concerned, it's been a good year. It's not quite over yet, but it certainly looks like we're going to conclude with a good performance this year. Star performers over the year are going to be the developing progressing markets led by the ASEAN sector and the smaller South American markets as well, which have done extremely well. Some of the Central American markets as well, like Mexico, up 26.25% in U.S. dollar terms here right now. But the December story is really the terrific relative performance put in by Wall Street. And I wouldn't be surprised if we see Wall Street go out with gains better than 13% for the S&P 500 this year, and the NASDAQ Composite up over 18%. Currently, they are at 12.89 and 17.73% up on the year. And that is really heartening here overall. I also think that we can say, well, let's see, what are some of the factors here that are behind this? Well, obviously the market has been, when I say obviously, but clearly the market has been firmer following the election that we saw back in November. So I think that many investors are showing that they approve of the Republican takeover of the House of Representatives. Now, and most Americans feel happier, except for the extreme tribal party advocates. Most Americans, I think, would acknowledge that the U.S. tends to do better when there's a bit of a balance of power there, and that it prevents some of the more extreme legislation that that might come through. Also, the market liked the fact that the tax cuts were actually extended, but I think most of all, the market liked the fact that it was a reality check for the Obama administration, which then came out and has been wooing business ever since. I mean, that's good. We do want to have the White House and business working together. I also think that the evidence shows that Bernanke's extremely controversial policies, in terms of, well, designed to avoid repeating the Japanese story, are succeeding. Now, people get very emotional on this subject. You know, there are always trade-offs involved. You succeed at a price, but are we going to see the U.S. slipping into a deflation? Well, I don't think so. I mean, the housing market's going to remain weak for, I would have thought, at least another year, and much more likely, at least another 2 or 3 years, or more likely, or I wouldn't be surprised if it remains weak well beyond 2011, just due to foreclosures and that increasing the number of houses on the market overall. So that's obviously the main soft spot. And unemployment, while it has improved a little bit, is going to remain a problem. But business is doing well, corporate profits are doing well. And when I say business is doing well, multinational companies are doing well, particularly those that are leveraged to the Asian-led global economy. And I think the rise in long-dated interest rates that we have seen recently is another indication that investors feel that we're not likely to see the Japanese script. Now, that would suit Fuller Money because all along we have felt that that the United States was not Japan written all over again, and that the activity, the quantitative easing activity, would prevent both the double dip recession and the deflation. But it probably, what it means is it also is cushioned downside risk for the economy, and that means that the recovery is a little bit slower. If you fall further, you don't have such an extreme, I beg your pardon, I'll restate that. If you fall less far, in economic terms, then one should not expect the same rapid type of recovery as we saw following the depression in the 1930s. So, cushion to the downside due to all the quantitative easing and somewhat slower growth. As the U.S. economy moves forward, I think a lot of people would actually settle for that, since the Austrian school let it all get completely blown out and correct all the imbalances would have been catastrophic for a lot of people, I feel. But let's get back to the markets here. Wall Street's outstanding relative strength this month is a good omen for the future for most markets generally. Now, in the short term, it is a little bit of a headwind because why buy a market that's already up 50% on the year when the US, which people thought was, or people would, which the US market, which had scared away a lot of people, is not so bad as they had felt previously. So, I think this may well turn into a self-feeding trend for the U.S. stock market, as we've seen this month, and I think that will carry on into the new year. And I'd be reasonably hopeful in terms of U.S. stock market performance in 2011. Now, as I say, while that may siphon a little bit of money away from some of the other markets, what it's likely to do ultimately is to keep them, keep the more overextended markets, the ones that had really accelerated up and away from their rising 200-day moving averages. It's likely to help them to get some mean reversion in a ranging phase rather than a sharp retrenchment, sharp retracement. And I think that will set those markets up for another run to the upside once they've completed this most likely medium-term consolidation in a fairly narrow range. And that's a positive across the boards. Getting rotational strength from one region to another, let alone one sector to another, or even individual shares within sectors, is normal, is it not? But when the world's biggest stock market is in good form, that's never been a negative over the medium term for the rest of the world's stock markets, and I don't think it will be this time overall. So that's quite positive. Now, what about the long-dated government bonds? Well, I think that there is a possibility that we see yields rise further over the short to medium term. I think that's quite likely. I was hoping that over the short term that they might range a bit more. That's still possible. But I keep mentioning that type 2 extreme reaction against the prevailing trend. The prevailing trend was that 30-year downward trend in long-dated government bond yields. So the extreme reaction would be a sharper rise than people had seen, or that any that people had seen previously, and a sharper rise than certainly than people have been forecasting. And that rise would also create a little bit more fuel for the stock market as money was switched away. At some stage out there, as yields keep moving up, then fixed interest will become more competitive again relative to equities. But I don't think that's the case today. You know, for instance, if Wall Street can record gains of nearly 13% for the S&P plus dividends, who needs who needs the bonds? And I think that equities will continue to outperform the fixed interest sector in 2011. Now, commodities, again, I've said it on so many occasions, the risk is commodity price inflation. And that's the big one, I feel. Now, I saw some interesting comments from Jim O'Neill, probably of all the economists in the world, he's the one that I will most happily listen to, because he's got a very, very acute market sense, which is the exception rather than the rule with economists. And he was saying that he didn't feel that commodity prices would go up as much as some other people were actually saying. And one of the reasons that he cited for that was he said that he'd been to China recently, and I said he would not underestimate the effort going on in China to both move rapidly into a much more efficient use of energy, and that's me. We're mainly talking about crude oil here, in terms of that energy efficiency. And also their major push, in terms of alternative and less polluting sources of fuel. Now, that's a good point. And I worry about a strong move upwards in the price of crude oil in 2011. If it doesn't happen, I think that one of the positive reasons for why that might happen, might not happen, would be the fact that we did get this increase in energy efficiency as more nuclear power comes on stream, although that's happening very slowly. We'll have to wait a few more years before lots of new reactors are being used. But we know that all the time these subsidized renewables are growing. We still have the shale gas. So there are a lot of factors at play here. This is not a new theme. This is something that I've mentioned over the last year that can make a little bit of a difference, but it's a fine, fine balance. And the chances that we get a spike upwards in the prices of crude oil, well, that still has to be a significant risk for 2011. If it does happen, it's an important headwind. If it doesn't happen, it'll be much better for global GDP growth and overall stock market performance. The charts will tell us. What else to mention? The grain and bean price complex inflation, I think we're certainly going to see. And we may get lucky in terms of next year's crops. That would be a very good thing. I would happily see that. Heave a huge sigh of relief. So we need to be wary of this commodity price inflation. Currencies, I don't have much to say there. I think we will enter the year as we're exiting the year with some reasonable stability among these currencies. Now, I didn't mention precious metals overall. They had some good gains earlier in the day for platinum and palladium, gave most of them up towards the close. Platinum still a little bit higher in here at 1728. Basically, these markets are steady in consolidation phases, partial mean reversions, but I think we will see new highs in the first quarter of this year, if not sooner. And on that note, all the best to all of you.